Hear God's call to worship from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the world. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Christ is born.
Lord, I am.
O Lord, open our lips,
that our mouths may show forth your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver us.
Make haste to help us, O Lord.
Let us rise and worship God in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Especially today, came in our own flesh, born as one of us to redeem us out of our sin and out of our misery, and to destroy the works of the devil and even conquer death itself. You alone are a God faithful to his word, and we confess that your word himself is the one in whom we trust and we celebrate this morning. May our worship this morning be acceptable in your sight. May our lips overflow with the joy of your salvation. And bless us this morning as we pray that prayer which Christ taught his disciples, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
God in worship, let us humbly kneel and confess our sins. Have mercy upon me, O God,
according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I have brought forth an iniquity, and it is sin that my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire to prove in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
Well, arise and hear the good news of the gospel. From Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Brothers and sisters, in the incarnate and risen Christ, God has promised that when we know him, even from the least of us to the greatest, he will remember our sin no more. So upon authority of God's word, take comfort, Christians. Take comfort that your sins are forgiven and your lives are rescued in our Lord Jesus Christ and his victory over the grave. Believe this and rejoice.
Alleluia.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is proper and right to do so.
Please be seated.
First scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis 3, verses 8 through 15. Hear God's word. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and eat dust. And dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel."
Thank you. from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike on the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. The little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall lay by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Thank you.
Micah 5, 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until a time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. Same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
Thank you.
to turn to the text. It's from Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 23. Matthew chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 17 through 23. Remember, as I'm reading, you're hearing God's inerrant and infallible word. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to illumine our minds and our hearts now as we come to this passage to celebrate in our hearts that which has taken place in history for us, but abides with us every day as we seek to walk with this one who is incarnate for our salvation and who walks with us by the Spirit, that we might incarnate in our own way, in our lives, his hands and his feet, and be a demonstration to the world. We ask this in his name. Amen. So, you know, the eternal question that comes about usually this time of year is, you know, what is the true meaning of Christmas? And you get all kinds of answers out there. And I was watching a show not too long ago. I won't tell you what it was because you probably lose all respect for it, but it's a rather unorthodox Christmas movie. But in the movie, the protagonist says, you know, Christmas means something different to everyone. Well, no, it doesn't. Christmas has one meaning, and that is, as we all know, the celebration of the birth of God in this world, that Jesus is incarnate, God in flesh, God with us. Many of our best-loved stories, though, around this time of year, and many of the best-loved movies, like Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, these don't make reference to the birth of Christ at all. And in the secularization of the day, which has been going on for a long, long, long time, is certainly nothing new, and it's not something that we're immune to. We have to be very careful about it as well. But to make sure that when we talk about Christmas in the sense of what it means for us now is not just a celebration of family and gifts and things that we are drawn into, which are good, they're all fine and good at this time, but to remember what Emmanuel means and the significance of God with us for us personally. And what I want to look at this morning specifically is, what did it mean that God was with them then? If you look at verse 17, this is a very, in fact, it's set apart all by itself in terms of the way the paragraphs are broken down. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Three 14s are mentioned there. What is the significance of that? And it's one of those, again, passages that you can look at and read through, just kind of gloss over, because the story that follows is much more interesting about Joseph and Mary. You have to remember that when Matthew was writing his letter, he was writing to a Jewish audience. That's who he had in mind. He was very sensitive to the idiosyncrasies and the practices of the Jews of that day, of which he was one himself. For example, he does not use the phrase kingdom of God in his gospel much at all. In fact, only four times does he mention kingdom of God. Matthew is more likely to say kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Because the Jews didn't use God's name verbally, nor did they write it. They consider that to be disrespectful and irreverent. He's very sensitive to these kinds of things, and knowing that, he builds in this one verse to his audience, who are Jews, so that people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others would resonate with what it was that he was saying here in these genealogies. The genealogies are probably our least favorite part of the Bible, right? Because they go on and on and on and on and on. But there is a reason that Matthew puts these in and that he names the names that he does and then talks about 14s the way that he does, because his audience would have gotten it. And here's why. Just like, I think even in your bulletin. All right, so you got, we're going to be saying the Belgic Confession, and it gives you the chapter there, which are Roman numerals. Well, that wasn't just true of Arabic numerology or Roman numerology. Hebrews had the same thing. Each letter of the Hebrew alphabet had a certain value attached to it. So in Hebrew, the name David, in all Hebrew, every word in Hebrew, breaks down to three consonants. There are no vowels in Hebrew, right? Three consonants. And if you, the place markers for them, and it goes this way, okay? It goes from right to left. The place markers, if you read or you study Hebrew, are pe, ayin, lamed, which are three Hebrew consonants. Pe, ayin, lamed are place markers for the root of the word. Are you with me? Okay. Dalet, Vav, Dalet in Hebrew is David. The numeric value of Dalet, Vav, Dalet is 14. You tracking with me? So Matthew writing this, 14 generations, they would have connected with this. They would have understood this because this was a part of rabbinical teaching. The case he's making here of these three 14s is not just that they come to a place where Jesus is the resolve of these genealogies, but that it's David, David, David. For the Hebrews, who's the greatest king in Israel? It's not a trick question. David, right, right, exactly. All right, so Dalet, okay, 4, Vav, 6, Dalet, 4, is 14. That would have connected with them. If you go back, and we're not going to, because I don't have time to do it. I was told to keep this to 10 minutes. Y'all know my prevailing sins in those areas. But 1 Chronicles 1, and especially chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, the 14s are also there, but they go through David. And that's where they stop. Matthew carries us the rest of the way. Now, look at what it is that he says there. In verse 6, the first part of verse 6, if you go back to chapter 1, prior to the text we read this morning, the first 14 ends with Jesse the father of David, the king. So, Dalet, Vav, Dalet. 14 goes to David, not just David, Jesse's son, but King David, the kingship, the establishment of the monarchy. Arguably the greatest period in the history of Israel was the period of the United Monarchy. Okay, they would have checked that off. He goes a little bit further. If you go down to verse 11, though, the next 14. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of deportation to Babylon. The ascension of royal power is the first 14. Okay? Second 14 is the loss of royal power. They were taken away into captivity. Again, David is the scene that runs through this entire thing. David's the king, the monarchy, the kingdom falls into sin, the loss of the monarchy. But then, in 12 through 16, we'll read it here, after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. If you go back and you read books like Haggai and Zechariah, you see these names over and over again, Ezra, Nehemiah. The return back to the city, to rebuild the city under these leaders. And Azor, the father of Zadok, and Zadok, the father of Achim, and Achim, the father of Eluid, and Eluid, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Matan, and Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob is the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ. So what Matthew is doing for them to take their tradition and to show them from their own tradition of these establishments and genealogies is that the third 14, the rise of the monarchy, the loss of the monarchy, the rise of Messiah.
that Jesus must be the Son of David. That would have definitely connected with them. And that this David's son, this person, is not just something that's ethereal or theoretical, but actually is born. And that's why he goes on the other side of that, the passage that we looked at this morning. Virgin will conceive and bear a son, quoting from Isaiah 7 there, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the question we have in the last couple minutes that I have here, I even set my watch, is to what extent do we live out God with us? It's the name of your church, right? Emmanuel, God with us. We believers, as a general rule, we tend to spiritualize salvation. We think of salvation in spiritual categories. We don't tend to think of it normally in physical ways. We talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus. As Jesus has ascended and gone to the right hand of the Father, he did not leave the world without his presence. He is incarnate in you. The incarnation is now you. You are the body of whom? Christ. So you have to ask yourself the question about these 3:14s and how they resonate in your own life. Is incarnational living, what does it look like for you? Are we just like everybody else? Are we just like everybody else, but we obey things like the Ten Commandments and try to keep our nose clean? Or are we different in every sense of the word? In incarnational living, being the visible manifestation of Jesus today, now, at this moment. It's something to think about. It's also the time of year of New Year's resolutions, which usually lasts about 8 to 12 weeks, right? But I would encourage you to just make that resolve to think about what you are and who you are as the incarnate body of Christ, as individuals and as a church, and the impact and the legacy and the impression that you leave on those who are around you. That's what Christmas is about. Of course, it's about Jesus coming into the world and dying, you know, on the cross for our sins and all that. Yeah, we got that. But what's the practical outworking for you? And Dalit, Vav, Dalit. Because you are the incarnation. You are Emmanuel. You are Christ in the world now until he comes again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know that you have to do the work in us to enable us by your Spirit to be strong and to be ones who do model in the ways that need to be modeled, that that we are yours and that we represent you in a very real way. So inspire us, encourage us, exhort us, convict us, whatever it is that we need to do as we enjoy this time of year to bring joy to others as we model what the Savior is all about in our lives and our actions and in our priorities. And we'll give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 208. Let's stand and sing together.
Oh,
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Offertory reading this Lord's Day comes from Psalm chapter 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let us pray. As we bring these gifts to you today, O Lord, we thank you for the things we so often take for granted: health and strength, forgiveness of sins, the air we breathe, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the homes that shelter us, and the friends we love and enjoy. We ask you to receive these small offerings. We know that we can never give enough to you. We can never buy or earn your love and forgiveness. But in response to your great love, we bring these tokens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Invite you in the Lord's behalf to come to the table and to be blessed and encouraged and strengthened by all that it means. It is a wonderful blessing that we observe every Lord's Day, a table that reminds us of his death and a worship service that keeps us focused on his resurrection and all the things that that entails and the joy that we experience now and the fellowship that we can have. So all of these things are modeled and remembered and set forth for us, and as we observe this meal, let's keep that in mind, that the Lord's taking care of everything, and as we celebrate this time of year, to remember to be grateful, and let this serve as a strengthening element, one of the means of grace that God's given for incarnational living, to enable us to
truly be what we need to be to those who are around us, to model grace in the gospel and to be thankful as we see others come to faith in Christ too through our witness. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing now as we come to the table, and remember if there's anything in your heart that's wayward or is wandering or what have you, to bring it to the Lord so that we can together take from this meal all that Christ intends for us. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would set apart these elements from their regular, ordinary, daily use to the sacred one that we observe now in this meal. And we pray that your Spirit would be at work within us, that through the mysteries of this meal, there would be one more very critical experience that we can have to remind us of your presence in our lives and the presence that we are in the lives of others. We ask that you bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed by those who were closest to him, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said to them, as I said, you ministering in his behalf, this is my body. Take and eat, all of you. Same manner also, after the supper, our Lord took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, as I say to you, ministering in his behalf, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of all your sins. Drink from it, all of you. Thank you. all of your sins, drink and be grateful. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What is it that you believe?
We confess that God fulfilled the promise made to the early fathers and mothers by the mouth of the holy prophets when he sent the only and eternal Son of God into the world at the time appointed. The Son took the form of a servant and was made in human form, truly assuming a real human nature with all its weaknesses except for sin. Being conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit without male participation. And Christ not only assumed human nature as far as the body is concerned, but also a real human soul in order that he might be a real human being. For since the soul had been lost as well as the body, Christ had to assume them both to save them both together. In this way, he is truly our Emmanuel, that is, God with us.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace now and forever. Amen. Amen. God's people said.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, really?